The safest and most popular route to Cuba for most Americans is via the printed page. Book critic Maureen Corrigan reviews two new books about the island. One dramatizes the economic hardships of everyday life there, and the other resolutely clings to the Cuba of memory and dreams.
Perhaps it's just my impression, but it seems like ever since the Elian Gonzalez case exploded in 2000, so too have the number of books that have been published or distributed in this country about Cuba. Brazenly in our face and yet tantalizingly out of reach for most Americans, Cuba offers glimpses of itself through literature, be it the literature of memory or fantasy, desire or dismissal. Lisa Wickson's debut novel, Dirty Blonde and Half Cuban, is based in part on her year's stay in Cuba, which also provided material for her Havana Honey series that ran in 2003 on Salon.com. The Cuban odyssey of Wickson's heroine, Alicia Briggs, is set in motion when she hears a deathbed confession from her mother that the man she thinks of as her biological father actually is not. Instead, Alicia's mother rasps out the name of a Cuban and commands her daughter to travel to Havana to find her quote-unquote real father. Dutifully, Alicia enters Cuba on a year-long student residency visa, but when her nest egg of $25,000 in cash is stolen, the intrepid Alicia is forced to go native and assume the life of a jinetera, Spanish for jockey. Jinetaras, we're told, are no mere prostitutes, but rather educated Cuban courtesans who entertain foreign sex tourists in exchange for Marc Jacobs dresses and grocery money. Wickson writes that, in a country where lawyers make $18 a month and a meal in a restaurant costs twice as much, becoming a jinetera is the logical moonlighting option for Cuba's female PhDs and MDs. Dirty Blonde and Half Cuban is as much a bodice ripper as your average afternoon novella or soap opera. Heavy-handed in its lectures on sex tourism as a form of colonization, Wickson's novel, conversely, is not going to gain any consciousness-raising awards from the adoption community for its portrayal of Alicia's unaccepting adoptive father versus the unconditionally loving biological father and fuzzy extended family she ultimately discovers in Cuba. Its contrived quality noted, however, Dirty Blonde and Half Cuban flaunts a certain seedy narrative energy, as well as the appeal of dramatizing some fresh, if unsavory, facts of making do in contemporary Cuba. Speaking of seedy, if the noir novel didn't already exist, Cuban writers surely would have had to invent it to capture their own peculiar version of a world gone wrong. Foremost among Cuba's masters of hard-boiled detective fiction, Leonardo Padura Fuentes has just brought out another in his award-winning series of Inspector Mario Conde mysteries set in Havana. Called Adios Hemingway, this mystery, as that title suggests, revisits worn-out material, namely Hemingway's years in Cuba, and from the very first page transforms it into something rich and haunting. The other distinction of Padura Fuentes' writing is his language. John King, who translated this novel from the Spanish, also deserves a nod here. Like the best hard-boiled writers, Padura Fuentes is a poet-philosopher, as evidenced by this rumination of Conde's on his absurd existential situation. He was a goddamn private detective in a country with neither detectives nor private property. He felt like a bad metaphor for a strange reality. Adios Hemingway begins roughly in the present with a violent storm that fells mango trees on the old Hemingway estate and unearths the skeletal remains of what turns out to be an FBI agent with bullet holes in his bones. The skeleton has been hidden since Hemingway's time, and suspicion swirls that the aging papa, with his paranoia and propensity for violence, might have been the murderer. Unofficially, Conde, who's now retired from the police, is asked to help out on the case. After all, he's had a writerly obsession with Hemingway for decades. As Conde's investigation proceeds, the story also flips back in time to a first-person narration by Hemingway about his years in Cuba. We hear about his love of Cuban cockfighting and rum, as well as his fears that, perhaps being no more than a journalist, he had to manufacture a life of conflict in order to have fodder for his novels. Increasingly immersing himself in Hemingway's past as well as his own, Conde realizes that he enjoyed hearing those old stories. They cast him back to a lost world, which, in the free territory of his memory, greatly resembled happiness. I've been trying to commit that magical sentence of Padura Fuentes's to my memory ever since I first read it. Where the scandalously entertaining half-Cuban and dirty blonde leaves little to the imagination, Adios Hemingway only deepens Cuba's aura of mystery, past and present.
Maureen Carrigan teaches literature at Georgetown University. She reviewed Dirty Blonde and Half-Cuban by Lisa Wixon and Adios Hemingway by Leonardo Padura Fuentes.